Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to our Sunday school hour, where we will continue our study in stewardship. This is week three, and we start the topic of giving. Bob, can you turn me down just slightly, please? Just a little bit. Thanks. So let's get started in a word of prayer and we'll kick off this session. Father, we thank you for a new day, for bringing us safely through the night into this beautiful new day that you've given to us, Lord. We just rejoice in the goodness, your goodness to us. And as we just consider all that you've done for us and given to us, and how we ought to use that and be good stewards and to glorify you in all that we do and everything we have. Help us, Lord, I pray. Help us this day. Just open our hearts, speak to us. And may you be glorified, Lord. Be with those that are not with us, that can't be with us, those that are far away, those that may be at work, those that may be sick. Please watch over them. Bring him back safely to be with us, Lord. And we just pray now, open our hearts, speak to us through your word, Lord, and through these concepts that we read in Scripture, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you should have received a handout that goes along with this. And so this morning's topic is week three of stewardship, and we start dealing with the topic of our giving. For the next 4 weeks, we will be going through various aspects of our giving. So, as part of our introduction, how many of you remember the group Van Halen? It goes back to the 70s. All right. They were a big band and doing a lot of touring in those days. They had an interesting clause in their performance contract. Article number 126, so you can imagine how far down in the fine print this was written. It says, it stipulated that a bowl of M&Ms be provided backstage, but that every single brown M&M be removed. It might seem a bit of an odd thing to put in their statement, but why did they do that? Well, it was a safety thing. They were four guys, but they had a lot of equipment. They had nine semi-trucks of equipment that would tour around. They'd have to build these stages, the promoter would have to assemble the stages and all this equipment. Everything had to be done in a safe way so that the stage wouldn't collapse or there wouldn't be some other issue. And so the lead singer would say, when I would walk backstage, find the bowl of M&Ms. If I found a brown M&M in there's a problem because I didn't read the contract properly. So they'd have to go and do safety inspection of everything. So why do we say that? Well, it seems silly, but in a biblical concept, in Luke 16:10, it says, those who are faithful with little will be faithful with much. And so that's really what brings us to our topic this morning, and that's our giving. How can we be good stewards with the little or the much that God has given us? So we're going to look at a few different things. If you look at your outline, you'll see we're going to look at the why, the what, the where, and the how of Christian giving. So let's look at why should Christians give. In letter A, giving shows how great God is. Now Moses, in Hebrews 11:26, it tells us that Moses considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking for the reward. So Moses, if you remember the story, gave up all the treasures and all the wealth that he had as Pharaoh's son, adopted son. Gave all that up to go with the Hebrew people, the Israelites. He gave up all that treasure because he was looking forward to the blessings that there are in God. So, giving for the sake of Christ shows how great God is. And there's various references there. Matthew 13 talks about the man who sold his piece of land so that he may obtain the pearl of great price. The letter B, God generally gives to us. So our giving shows how great God's gift is to us. If you want to turn to 2 Corinthians, we're going to refer to a lot of verses particularly out of chapter 9, but 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich." So we could throw away all of our worldly possessions because God has given us something much more valuable. And it's not physical wealth or physical possessions on this earth. We know that it is a spiritual blessing. Let us see, giving promotes godliness. So we give to become more godly. Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So that tells us a bit about our heart when we consider what we do with what's been given to us. God gives everyone a finite amount of money. Some we need to live on, some we may need to save, some we should probably invest, some we should probably use to pay down our debt, our mortgage, and so on, so that we can be responsible with what God's given us. But we need to give away the rest. Okay? So if we have, to quote Dave Ramsey, a written budget, you need to account for every penny that you earn every month. Okay? So that it has a place to go. Because what remains from what we just spoke about, our saving, our investing, our paying off our debt and what have you, if there's something left over and it's unaccounted for, it's going to burn a hole in our pocket. Okay? It is, to quote the author here, spiritual acid, because it'll eat away at our commitment to Christ. Because what do we do with that? It needs to be accounted for. Essentially, you cannot serve God and money. You cannot be trusting in God and in something else. So we have to account for everything that we have. And beyond that, if we remember Malachi 3, if you want to look there, it's go to Matthew and go back a page or two. Malachi 3, 8 and 10, God accuses the Israelites of robbing God because they were withholding the tithes that they were supposed to give to the temple, to God's work. They were robbing God. So all that we have is God's, not just the portion we set aside to give to our religious nonprofits, but all of it belongs to God. And our giving helps encourage others to give thanks and praise to God. Again, if you want to turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, like I said, a lot of our references come from there, so you can keep your finger there, or a bookmark. In verse 12, we read about Paul here had been pleading for gifts to the poor Judean Christians. And in verse 12, it says, "For the ministry of the service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God." So the fact that these Macedonians were taking up an offering, they were poor people in the first place, but they gave abundantly to give to these Judean folk. And they blessed the Judean people with their gift, and in return, they were also giving thanksgiving to God. So we are blessed in the way we give and how we give and to whom we give. On your handout, there's a gap because there should have been a letter D. But if you want to write it in, that's fine. Giving brings blessing. It's somewhat related to the first, to the previous point. If we give, we'll be blessed. This is often a misunderstood but biblical principle. I think your mind might go to some of these big television preachers that claim if you write me a check, you'll be debt-free and your marriage will be healed, and just, you know, write a check to me. But then you look at the guy's mansions and cars and a couple of jets. Makes you wonder who's really been blessed. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about our physical blessings. I mean, God could choose to bless us in that way, but it's not what the Bible is referring to. In Luke 6, verse 38, Jesus says, "Given will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And again, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7, Paul says, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." So we give because there's a reward in the giving. It's not a physical reward here, but our treasure is laid up in heaven. So this is a godly motivation for us. Now, in the Old Testament, God did tie the material blessing to obedience. Because God's people were defined as a physical nation on a physical land that produced a physical material blessing. And you can read that in Numbers 14 and Deuteronomy 28. But the Old Testament blessings always pointed to something better, something greater, something more lasting. Now, in the New Testament, where we are, the New Testament age, God's people make up the church. And we don't have a country. Our home is a spiritual home in heaven. And our rewards are also emphasized as being spiritual blessings. If you think of Ephesians 1 and verse 3, that God has blessed us. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." So we have spiritual blessings. So to summarize, if we give, we'll be blessed. And that is what this part of this lesson is all about. Our blessings, spiritual blessings, not material blessings necessarily. So how has this giving been joyful for you? Are you a joyful giver? So let's look at number 3 on the inside of our handout. What should a Christian give? Very simply, letter A there, everything. Because God owns all that we have, not just our money. So he owns us, our time, our bodies, our talents, everything. Paul writes in Romans 12 and verse 1, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship." So we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So our whole being, everything that we have, all that we are. In 1 Corinthians 10, he says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whatever we do, with our time, with our money, with our efforts, everything needs to glorify God. The quote at the bottom of letter A there says, money is just one piece of a large puzzle for how we can use every gift, every opportunity, every relationship, every dollar to proclaim the glory of God with every minute he gives us on this earth. So whatever you do, and all that you do, do all to the glory of God. So, God may have blessed us with much, and he may have blessed us with little. And whatever we do with it, we need to do to the glory of God. It may be that we help a friend. We take him to lunch because he needs encouragement. Maybe his marriage is failing and you can take him to a lunch. Maybe you need to take your wife out, give her a break from making dinner, and you go and spend a bit of money to buy her dinner. So it's not that we have to be stingy or scrounge or live on nothing, but God has blessed us and we need to use it wisely. So let's get a little more specific in letter B. What about our tithes and our offerings? Firstly, in the Old Testament, let's look at the Old Testament giving. The Old Testament concept of the giving there was the concept of a tithe. And we see that in several places. The tithe was a bit like an income tax. It meant a tenth part, and it was to be holy or set apart to the Lord. So we read of a few different tithes. Firstly, in Leviticus 27, verses 30 through 33, they had to tithe all of the produce and the flocks to be set aside to the Lord. This tithe was given to the Levites because the Levites did not have an inheritance of land. So this tithe went first of all to the Levites, enabling them to serve full-time in the tabernacle. And then the Levites in turn tithed to the priests who support the priests. So that was the concept of a tithe. All their produce, first fruits, and their flocks. Also in Deuteronomy 12 and verse 14, it's just a small sentence, so it talks about giving a tithe of one's produce and flocks to be eaten in at the central sanctuary. So essentially God is commanding some kind of feast where people were to give to enjoy God's blessing together. And then finally there was also every third year the tithe was to go into the local storehouse to feed the poor, and that's in Deuteronomy 14. So that's the concept of the tithe. Now, apart from these tithes, there was also a temple tax in Exodus 30, verses 11 through 16. There are voluntary offerings in Deuteronomy 12, in verse 6. Gleaning of the fields that was to be left to the poor, and we remember that from the story of Ruth, that the farmers were commanded to leave the perimeters and sometimes even to leave handfuls of what they were harvesting so that the poor could come and glean from those perimeters of the fields and pick up to have food for their families. And also there were some additional taxes levied on the monarchy, by the monarchy, in 2 Kings 23. So, in the Old Testament, it was a lot more than just 10% that was being given. But 10% is a good place to start for a tithe. After all, Abraham also gave 10% to Melchizedek in Genesis 14, verse 20. And Jacob also promised 10% of his flocks to God. And that was hundreds of years before the law was given of the tithe. So what about in the New Testament? Number two there. Nowhere in the New Testament is there a concept of 10%. But in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, we're admonished to give in keeping with our income, giving as you can. So what happened to the 10% then? Well, the tithe were all part of God's regulations of the Old Testament of how his people were to worship him. And then when Jesus came along on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 and verse 17, he said that he fulfilled the entire Old Testament. So all of the worship ordinances of the Old Testament were pointing to Christ. And that we can read in Hebrews. A lot of Hebrews talks about how Christ was much better than all of these. So once Christ came along, there was no need for these temple taxes and so on. And that's why Jesus declared the temple tax inapplicable to his followers there in Matthew 17, verse 25 and 26. So, to summarize, are you in sin if you don't give your 10% of your income to the church? Well, no. For some it may be more, for some it may be less. But we give as the Lord has blessed us. Look at number three, sacrificial giving. Let's get a little more specific now. So all through the New Testament, we're taught that following Jesus involves self-denial. In Matthew 16, 24, he said, "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." So we are to sacrifice and we are to follow Christ. And following Christ is not necessarily going to mean that we will be blessed and life is going to be great, because we've been promised that there will be trials and persecutions. Now, we read also in the New Testament the story of the poor widow who gave all she had, her two mites, in Mark 12, 41 and through 44. And then also what we read about with the Macedonians who gave, they were poor, but they gave beyond their ability. So it involves, giving could involve, or should involve, some sacrifice. So what do we take from this? Jesus calls us to sacrifice, and it could be giving of our money to the point where it hurts. So for some, it may hurt. For some, it may be a blessing to give more than your 10%, but we all give according to how God has blessed us. Abraham, after all, accumulated a lot of wealth. He gave, but yet God still blessed him with a lot of flocks and herds, a lot of servants, and so on. So it's not that it's going to be sinful to be wealthy. So for us, the real sacrifice, for some it may be our budget, for others it may be our time. What do we do with our time? Because you may not feel like doing something, but if it's something for the Lord, taking this friend out for a meal to be an encouragement to him, it's going to take some kind of sacrifice. You may get a call to go and help somebody. It's like, I really don't feel like doing that now, but it's going to be a sacrifice. And so what do we do with our time? We don't want to be selfish in all these areas. So, as I mentioned, Christianity is not all about comfort. We are in a battle, and we are called to sacrifice. So let our comfort be in Christ. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7. So what about generous giving? Point number 4 in our handout. Again, in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, we read, Paul writes, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So there is a theme of generosity. And if you think of it in the farming sense, it makes completely a lot of sense that if you only sow a little bit, you're going to reap a little bit. If you sow bountifully, you're going to reap bountifully. And so this is also a spiritual concept for us. We should give generously to support our local church, to support our missionaries, to help our neighbors in need, or this friend that needs some encouragement. We need to love our families and just be an encouragement to all. So that is all to be part of our generous giving. So how much do we give? Well, the answer is still everything. Because what we give and what we keep back still are God's. How much money should we give to the church? Well, it may be more than you give today, but certainly enough for you to honestly say before God that the money you're holding back to spend on yourself is also glorifying God. So, give so that the money you're spending, this is a quote again at the end of number 4, give so that the money you're spending on your own needs bring God equal or greater glory than it would if you were to give it away. That is the gold standard for us. Okay? Point number 4, where should Christians give? So let's look first of all at our obligations. Our most basic responsibility in 1 Timothy 5 verse 8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So first of all, we provide for our family to meet our basic responsibilities. Secondly, once we've met our most basic responsibility, we give to our local church. In Galatians 6 and verse 6, Paul writes, let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. And so we give to support our church and our missionaries, the work of this body here. So this seems to follow the Old Testament practice of the tithe to support the Levites, those who taught God's people. And it's a good way that we can apply what that means in our giving to support our local church. Now, personally, I've always made it, my wife and I have always made it our philosophy, if you would, from the first day we got married, that we give our tithe to the Lord. The government, after all, takes their tax and the medical insurance and whatever else, and your savings, your 401k, so you should then also give to the Lord out of your gross. That's just personally. So we made that a priority to always give to the Lord first. And we meet our basic responsibilities for our family. Obviously, if you're not earning a whole lot and you have rent to pay and food to put on the table, you need to take care of your family first. So from these two things, what other obligations do we see? There's opportunities. Paul made it clear that he wasn't commanding the Corinthians to give to those destitute churches in Judea in 2 Corinthians 8 and on into chapter 9. But he presented it as a compelling opportunity, and they took up the opportunity to take up those offerings beyond what they were able to give to the church, the people in Judea. So you're providing for your family and you're faithful to give to your church, but you still have money left over, so what do? You try to figure out the best, most strategic way to spend that money so that you'll be able to give a good account of it on the last day as you stand before the Lord. Remember, we said, whatever we do it to the glory of God. And so, if our giving, what we keep, glorifies God, same as what we give, glorifies God, that ultimately is our goal. Perhaps you give more to your church because of the good things our church is doing. We have a lot of missionaries. We had a lot of other opportunities that come up where we can give. Other missions, like Pacific Rim missions, for example, that are not part of our supported missionaries, but occasionally there's opportunities that come, and we can help meet those opportunities. Now, that doesn't mean we cross out, you know, part of our tithe and we give it to Pacific Rim missions. No, that's an additional opportunity over and above our tithes and our taxes, our tithes and our regular offerings. So we may be able to support a local homeless shelter. We may be able to do something in our neighborhood that could be an outreach to our neighbors and inviting them to church. So whatever you do, these are opportunities that we can be a blessing to others and to still glorify God with what we have. On the last page, we're getting close to the end here. How should Christians give? How should we give? Primarily, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put aside something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. So there's a concept there of the first day of every week. So giving should be, first of all, periodic. Some may give on the first day of every week. Some may give beginning of the month. Whatever the case, we need to give periodically. Do we give of the first fruits up front, or do we give out of what's left over at the end? Okay? We had spoken about giving of our first fruits. So it should be periodic, and probably first day of the week or the month. Secondly, personal. We're each responsible to give. Paul says, each of you. So we can't assume that just because the church is giving, we're giving. We each need to give to support the church and our missionaries. Number three, planned. It needs to be planned. We should be deliberate in our giving. We should put aside our money, as Paul said. We should plan our budgets. We should plan our giving. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 again. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. So how the Lord has blessed you and how this is between you and the Lord, pray about it, and that's what you give. Not a spur of the moment, but it's planned. And number four, progressive. We should give according to our means. Paul said there we should give as he may prosper. So the more God prospers us, the more we give. Presumably, the more God prospers us, the higher the proportion we give. So for some, God has prospered you, and you give a certain amount. You know, one believer may only earn 25 or 30,000 in a year. Another believer may earn 60 or 80,000 in a year. Well, how much do we give? For one, it may be a lot more than we can give, and so we do, because we don't need as much to live on. We all need the same to live on, but the one who's got more can give more, as the Lord has blessed you. So number five, plentiful. Our giving is to be generous. Remember, God loves a generous and a cheerful giver. Paul concludes his instruction, so that there will be no collecting when I come. So it was on the first day of the week, giving as you can, planned, Each one give as he decided in his heart, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. And so that is what we should do. We should give plentifully as we reflect on what God has given us in Christ. So, in conclusion, it's more blessed to give than to receive in Acts 20, verse 35. Those are Jesus' words, and they really are true. One of the greatest joys for a Christian is to be able to give more. And there's tremendous satisfaction that comes from seeing the fruits of our labor multiplied over in the lives of others. If we think of the opportunities that we have for our missionaries or for these like Pacific Rim missions, what they can do with the money that we give, we are blessed when we see what the Lord is doing with that money in those places and in the hearts of those people. So it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. So there's tremendous satisfaction when we see the fruits of these of our labor multiplied on so many levels in so many different lives. So money is a powerful thing, and when we use it well, it has the potential to do tremendous good. And so we need to remember that all that we have is God's, and that includes our money and our tithe, our time, our efforts, not just our money. This part of the Sunday school is dealing with that aspect of our giving, but just remember that God owns everything. So what we keep for ourselves, does that glorify God as much as what we give to God? And if you can say yes, then we're doing okay. But God has given to us plenty, and we need to be generous and be a cheerful giver with what he's given us. And we have 2 minutes. Any questions, comments? On the whole concept of giving. Yes. Came in with nothing, we'll leave with nothing. So there's no point hoarding and keeping it for ourselves. Because like it says, that would be spiritual asset. We need to save and invest what we need for a future. We need to be responsible with it. And we need to use what God has given us to his glory.
We did the course, we structured our budget, and quite frankly, it hurt us because we both had to be honest about spending.
Yeah.
And so it brought a depth in our marriage of where everything just became, I don't want to say it was dishonest, but there was things that, yeah, you're not, I'm just not going to tell her everything. And that's not good, that's not acceptable.
Yes.
I thank the Lord for that. That's just been a tremendous blessing.
Yeah, we've done.
I had 5 credit cards and shopped them up.
Yep.
Well, with David Ramsey's plan.
Yes. Yeah, we did the Ramsey finances here, ooh, I don't know, 8 years ago, some time back, we did the whole book. So, yeah, we would recommend his concepts. They're very sound. They make a lot of sense. And it can certainly help you not be a debtor to anybody, and especially our credit cards. Get your finances in order. But yes, God has blessed us. We need to be faithful with what we do with it, what we give to him, to his work, our missionaries and our church and other opportunities. And just remember, whatever we keep for ourselves and spend for ourselves, is that also glorifying God? If you can answer yes, then we're doing well. Anything else? Paula? There would be, yes. Obviously, like Andrew was saying about a budget, you know, if we have a budget, we know where we're going to spend. You may have a category there for opportunities. And so if you know what you can afford, and the Spirit may prompt you to give more than that, well, then you're going to sacrifice a little, steal out of one envelope to put in the other envelope, to quote Ramsey, because he works on the envelope system. Everything has its amount. When that's done, you're spent until next month. But yes, Holy Spirit prompting, yeah, certainly. Okay? Well, let's pray and we can get ready for our morning service. Father, we thank you for how you've blessed us, Lord, in so many ways. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us to be good stewards of what you've given to us. May you be glorified in every penny that we have, every moment, every second, every breath. Lord, may you be glorified. Help us to use what you've given to us wisely, Lord, not just our finances, but everything that we have. And may you be glorified. Be with us now as we go into this morning service, Lord. Open our hearts and speak to us. Be with our pastor, Lord, as he brings us the word. And may you be blessed and glorified there too. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.